the seventh awareness, cultivating wisdom. Wisdom is aroused by hearing, reflecting, practicing, and realizing. The Buddha says, when you have wisdom, you are without greed. Always reflect upon yourself. Do not lose this wisdom. Cultivating, practicing wisdom, practicing wisdom. Another Uchiyama's translation is, the seventh quality is to embody the wisdom of liberation from one's attachments. Realization based on hearing the teaching of Buddha Dharma, contemplating, practicing his wisdom. And quoting the Buddha, if you have wisdom, you will never become greedy. You must constantly reflect on yourself and never allow the loss of wisdom. Greedy. We of course say, caught in self-centered dream, only suffering. Self-centered dream is greedy. Another translation says, if you have wisdom, you will not hold to or have craving and attachment. This is what we discover as we begin, continue this practice, is we discover how many ways we can be caught, if we use that word, caught. We could believe, cultivate, and engage in self-centered stories. The Buddha is very clear that these attachments keep us from losing the wisdom that we are. Remember, it doesn't say get wisdom, but cultivate wisdom. You could only cultivate wisdom if there's some wisdom to cultivate, and yet there must be, because that's why he says, doesn't say plant wisdom and then cultivate it. If you cultivate somewhere where there is no wisdom, if you cultivate tomatoes on a piece of soil, a plot of land where there are no tomato seeds, you can cultivate tomatoes, I was going to say from today till the cows come in, but that's not an appropriate metaphor. But you can pour water on, put in a tomato cage, and somehow the tomato plant won't grow. It's only when there are tomato seeds or seedlings there that you then can cultivate wisdom. This is important to see, that this is what the Buddha is talking about. It's not something new, this wisdom, this ability to see the consequence of holding on to attachments. I want, I don't want, I should, I shouldn't, she shouldn't, she should, etc., etc. And how does Dogen encourage this? Hearing, considering, practicing, verifying. That's wisdom, says Dogen. Self-reflection or self-present. You, by constant reflection, he quotes the Buddha, you will prevent it from being lost. You will prevent yourself from losing the wisdom that is your, our life. You will prevent yourself from believing the dreams that come up or the weeds that spring up. That's cultivating wisdom, not gaining something that you no longer have, that you never had, that you couldn't find, that maybe someone else has, but everyone you meet, everyone we meet, is this wisdom? Is this wisdom that the Buddha talks about in various ways? That's why it's available to all of us. All beings are the wisdom and perfection of the Buddha. That's what a sutra says. That's what the sutra quotes the Buddha as saying. Of course, Buddha didn't speak English, so we need to translate it, and the sutras need to translate it into ways that we can understand and therefore cultivate it. See, that's what this is about, our practice, is cultivating it by using the arising of craving or attachment, by being present in ways that nurtures the wisdom of our life. And in a sense, goes against our tendency of holding to self-centeredness. And it doesn't mean the self-centeredness doesn't arise. Just as weed seeds seem to appear in all sorts of plots of soil, we might even not see them. Strain the soil and somehow they still yet appear. So, if we cultivate wisdom, we have the wisdom to see what's so, to appreciate, to, let's say it differently, to sense and be present when we're missing, to do what's called for, enabling us to see our life, to see our life means, of course, the life of the whole universe that we encounter. Our life and the life of the universe aren't two different things. If we think we're just inside here, whatever way you want to talk about it, bag of skin and bones is one way, but we could keep it much. Say it in different ways. It's saying it as the miracle that this life is. Miraculous that we could open our eyes and beams of light, waves of light, sound, of all sorts of other activities that we, some of which we can name and some of which we don't, connect us to the whole universe. And unfortunately also we can cut ourselves off and operate in what we call self-centered way, a way in which it's us versus the universe, and we see what happens when we do that on small scales and on big scales in our life and in the life of others. And we could sense it even from when humans are very young, and not just humans, other beings as well in their own way. As I said, this is both the last teaching of the Buddha before he died and the last teaching of Dogen, or I should say the last written teaching of Dogen. I need more light here, but I don't have it. I'll do my best. The eight awarenesses of a Buddha, of the Shobo Genzo. This is at the end. There's a paragraph that was written in the original version of this that's available. Was written at Eheji on January 6th, 1253. Now, this person writing this, now in the year of 1255, on the day before the training session ends, Jien has been ordered to make this copy and present it. Or proofread it, excuse me. That's what happens with old eyes and poor light. The foregoing essay was written by our late teacher, Dogen, during his last illness. When I reflect upon the fact that the Japanese version of the Shobo Genzo was to be rewritten, newly rewritten, to make 100 volumes, this becomes the 12th volume after the original 40, 75 volumes. After his illness, Dogen gradually got worse and worse, so that he had to give up his writing. Therefore, this volume was the very last instruction of our late teacher, Dogen, and unfortunately, we will not be able to see the intended 100 chapters. It is most regrettable. Those who love and revere our former teacher should copy and preserve this. This is the final teaching of our late master. This is written by Colin Edjo, one of Dogen's successors. Colin Edjo, Tetsu Gikai, Keizan Jokin, and so on, the lineage that we and most Japanese disciples of Dogen grow out of. And there's a similar comment in another translation about how this was the last teaching of the Buddha the night before he died, and he stopped after giving this teaching. It's interesting to me that the more I reflect on talking about this, the more I look at my bookshelves and say, I wonder if that has a version of this. So, yesterday I told you I found an additional version. Well, later in the day after the talk, I looked at my bookshelves and I said, maybe that book has a version. So I opened up, that was Kaz Tanahashi's translating of Dogen, and lo and behold, there was another version. They each have their own strengths and weaknesses in terms of how they translated into English for us to appreciate this. Uchiyama's version talks about embodying the wisdom of liberation from one's attachment. Embodying the wisdom of liberation from one's attachment. That's, in a sense, a reflection, a positive way of saying caught in self-centered dream, which is one's attachment. And he translated Buddha's statement, if you have wisdom, you will never become greedy. Why? Because, he doesn't say why. I say why? Because you know who and what you are, what your life is, but also what your attachments or greed are when they arise. But, unfortunately, we all know we don't always reflect on our attachments, and therefore we lose sight of the wisdom of our life in the face of what we can call self-centeredness. So an important, vital, fundamental part of our practice is noticing when and how attachment arises, not in some broad generality. Holding, as we say in the Four Practice Principles, to this and that thought, feeling, desire. Sensing it viscerally is our opportunity to not be blinded where these attachments come from, why some of us have some or others, doesn't matter. I mean, it matters in one sense, but in another sense, if we're going to the fundamental of our ongoing practice, it's not always useful to look where did this come from, but rather, if this is arising because I sense it in my tongue, in my face, in my body, in my gut, in my thoughts, in my reactions to such and such happening out there, that being there, then there is our opportunity, if we're capable and willing, to see what's called for, to allow ourselves to be the wisdom of liberation from this attachment which arises, or not to be liberated from it, to be caught by it with, depending on what it is, the consequence. I want to go faster. Oh, 30 miles an hour, I forget that. It doesn't count for me. I'm going 60. Do I hit something? Do I get a ticket? That's, of course, a simple one. You mean he got a piece of cake and I didn't? Damn you. Why are you so mean to me? You. And, or, I want that. I won't have enough money. I'll go in anyway. Can I have one of those? What's that behind your back? I'm out of here with it. We each know the reality of how these attachments, these self-centeredness arises for ourselves. Sometimes it's just that everyone should agree with me. Things should go the way I want in my body, in my mind, among my friends, among people who are playing a game, the team that I want should win, the team that I don't like should lose. Doesn't matter if the team is a pickup game in the park, or the political party, or the nation, etc. And the things that we're willing to do to reinforce that, to follow up on that, is what poisons the wisdom that we are. It poisons the wisdom of our life, which enables us to live with others, to live in the universe, to be joyous in this life that we have, however it is. That's the whole teaching of the Buddha, is so that we and all beings that we encounter can be free of suffering. Doesn't mean that we're going to be free of getting old, getting sick, dying, but even might not be free of the harming that others want to do to us, whoever they are or whatever. But we can cultivate the wisdom to be free from the attachment that adds suffering to our life. Doesn't mean we won't get sick, but we can be sick and we can suffer about being sick. We can have something, or someone else can have more than we have, or other than we have, and we can create suffering. And that's our practice, to notice, to use suffering, to use caught, to use reactions as our opportunity to see what to do, what's skillful to not do, in order to be all the more the life that we are, all the more to taste and appreciate the life that we are. That's what this is, to practice the wisdom that we are. Not to go looking for another wisdom, not to believe that we lack wisdom, but just the opposite. To cultivate and sense the wisdom that you and we are. And all it takes is attention to hearing, thinking, actions, reflecting, to use even so-called craving or attachment, wanting and not wanting, as opportunities to all the more, if I say it in such a way, be who we are, even in the midst of aging, sickness, gain and loss, old age, death. Buddha says, or Dogen quotes the Buddha saying, this wisdom is what is a bright lamp in the darkness of ignorance. It's a good medicine for all who are ill. It is a sharp axe to cut down the tree of afflictions. Therefore, you should enhance your benefits through the wisdom of hearing, considering, and practicing. This is a translation, the scholarly translation of Dogen that I earlier cited. As you know, I like to look at different translations. Since I don't read the text, And since I am very much aware of how slightly different translations give us all the more the richness and the texture of what Dogen is saying in his original. This other translation says it a little differently, but still, a brilliant lamp that lights up ignorance and darkness, medicinal for all who are sick and infirm, us and all beings we meet, if we can see how skillfully to share, not necessarily the teaching, but to share the functioning of this wisdom that is our life. And then again, this metaphor, cutting down the tree of ignorance, hatreds, and cravings with the sharp axe. So this is the seventh of the eight awarenesses. And as I said, as I quoted, it's these eight awarenesses, which both are Dogen's last writing before he became sick, or before his illness worsened. He knew he was sick for more than a year before he died, maybe almost 2 years, because he traveled to the capital to consult with doctors and then came back. He traveled to the capital in Japan before he actually wrote this one. And it's the same. Shakyamuni Buddha was very aware that he was dying and therefore, in a sense, called together his disciples from different parts of the Indian subcontinent, both lay and ordained, so that, at least as it said, they gathered around him. And the Mahaparinirvana Sutra records this as what he taught the night before and the next day he died, saying a few other words. I can quote more from the Mahaparinirvana Sutra, but it's not necessary. So, what we're doing here, what you're doing here, each of us have to take responsibility to do this embodiment of the wisdom. And the embodying, practicing of the wisdom that you are, is, if we say it in the terms we use, noticing how and where we are caught in self-centeredness or greed, how, when it arises, how we nurture and feed it, or how we skillfully respond to it.